So if you're not failing, you're actually not doing something right. I wouldn't be good at what I'm doing if I didn't have all those stages attached to that journey for me.
Welcome, everybody, to the Do Hard Things podcast. I'm your host, Gabe Lulo. I'm super excited to be here talking with our guest today, where he is going to be taking you through his origin story, where he started off in the SDR role, and now where he is today, which is a campaign director at Alley-Oop. Great story. I love this guy to death. It's amazing to see, you know, his journey over the years on where he started and where he is today. It's been incredible to see. So we're going to jump right into it. You know how I like to do things here, Jose, is just, you know, have a conversation, just a raw, organic conversation. So we're going to talk and we're going to have some fun over the next 20 minutes. And I know people who are going to be listening and watching this on the playback are going to see a lot of things that they can take away and add into their sales career and hopefully into their life and have more success. So let's talk about you, man. First off, where are you in the world?
So I'm actually located on the central coast of California. So right in the San Luis Obispo area, close to the beach, nice weather. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. I used to live in California. I loved it there. New York now, so I'm a little jealous of your weather, of course. But yeah. here's my question. I love like always hearing like the origin story, like where you came from and you know, how you actually started off in sales. So take us through it. Like where did you start your career and how did you end up getting to be in the Alley-Oop ecosystem?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I guess I had touched the surface of sales previously with multi-level marketing. And so I had been exposed to, you know, what it looks like to have those conversations, to communicate in a way where you're involved in a sales process, but maybe not in the SDR role. So like, I was not familiar with, you know, cold calls, right? In the MLM space, you do things that are similar, but it's not the same thing. So I didn't have a lot of structure. I had like a vague understanding of sales. What I was doing right before I got this job and dove in here is construction and fire. So I was a firefighter in Utah and I was doing construction and I was doing both at the same time because the schedule allowed that. So, you know, the do hard things has always been a thing for me. And so that was super easily something that was adopted when I came here. And I think that's also what kind of helped ingrain learning this industry for me. So I actually attribute a lot of that to you, Gabe, in the sense of like, if this wasn't the way that it was, I wouldn't have learned as much as I have. And I also don't even know if I would still be here today. So it's like, you know, what I was able to transition into when I started as an SDR here is basic knowledge. I mean, back then we had our partner program, Ready Hire, and they taught me the basics of how to actually communicate effectively on a cold call and then take that pass into the sales process for, you know, our sellers and our closers. And then, I mean, from there, I grew from a junior SDR role. So when I got hired here, I actually was plugged into an inbound project. And I was taking inbound leads. And the first thing I told myself when that happened was like, wow, I'm lucky that I got this job, but it means that I'm not good if I went into an inbound project. So I was like, okay, so now this starts, I don't know where to start, but I got to start learning how to be better at this. So from then on, I'm a very competitive person. So right off the bat, inbound or not, I was competing to be the best. From there, though, I looked at everybody in the company who was doing good. I didn't care what they were doing, if it was inbound, if it was outbound. And I bothered people because that's what I do. I do it professionally, but I know how to ask the right people the right questions so that I can learn things in a faster amount of time. And that has been what helped me grow through junior SDR to senior SDR, team captain, client program manager to campaign director now. And I wouldn't be good at what I'm doing if I didn't have all those stages attached to that journey for me.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So obviously you're the top dog. I mean, you know, campaign directors is at the top level on the sales floor. You're working with clients, you're working with CEOs, you're working with CROs, you're shaping the go-to-market strategy for them. You know, walk me through why you think being an SDR and a good SDR first prepared you to be in the role you are today.
That's a really good question. And I think that it's also underrated. So what SDR, being an SDR did to help me now is strategy. I mean, the biggest thing is strategy because as an SDR, you have a decision to make. It's whether you're going to blame all the reasons why you can't produce on, you know, what your playing field looks like, or if you're going to find a way to make it work. So what I learned as an SDR is, yeah, we have our traditional way of how we run things, but if you're serious about producing and making things work, you'll find another way. And as campaign directors, especially here, that is what we're laying out the groundwork for all of our campaigns and our clients, so that they have successful campaigns that they're running with us.
Right. That's awesome. Cool. So obviously sales is hard, right? You know, I always say, you know, of course, this is Do Hard Things. And we know that, you know, sales is hard, and doing hard things is what you have to push through to see that success. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think salespeople really need that carrot. And that carrot, you know, either can be given to you by a manager, a mentor, by, you know, just the company itself's incentive program. But I also think it needs to be self-created, right? So how do you use motivation, and how do you create that self motivation and that carrot, if you will, outside of what the company does? But how do you do that for yourself? What do you use to motivate yourself to do those hard things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of what I do outside of work, honestly, to prepare for the workplace is reading and content based. So I guess if I were to give advice, it would be, you know, to look up what you do outside of what you do, if that makes sense. So like, if I'm working during the workday, yeah, that's great. I have all the process in front of me. I have what I normally do on a day-to-day basis. But if you're not looking it up outside of that, you're not actually putting in your 100%. You're putting in the hours that you have at your in your workday. Right. So what I've dove into outside of work is reading, and whether it's based on client relationships, sales, or actually just personal growth, like there's always something going on or multiple at the same time. And this is not something that I did when I was an SDR. It's something that I've done previously, but it ties into like what drives you, what are your goals? Because that's the most important part of what you do is your why. What is the motivation, and why do you get up every day to actually do what you do? And so actually a couple of books specifically that I would recommend that help me, or have helped shape, I guess, how I go into every day with a positive mindset and able to get through that and execute every hour of that day, is the book Mindset by Carol S. Dweck, and then Failing Forward by John C. Maxwell. Now, mindset, it goes more into like the differences between a closed mindset and an open mindset. How you approach your life is going to be based on that book. And so it's a highly recommended read. Also, Failing Forward helped me understand that from the SDR phase on, you can fail. That's how you get better. So if you're not failing, you're actually not doing something right, because you need to learn. Unless you actually just take the courage and the confidence to do it, you're never going to learn how to do it right. You can ask people all the questions you want, but until you do it yourself, there's a level of learning that you're missing.
For sure. That's awesome. Good books, by the way. I highly recommend everyone to read those as well. So imagine this. Imagine I bought a old 1980s DeLorean, you know, the cars with the gullwing doors. I hired my friend, who's this weird mad scientist, to build this thing called the flux capacitor. And we put it in the DeLorean, and it turned it into a time machine. You may have seen this movie. I'm not sure. It was kind of popular. Seriously. So if we were back to the future right now, right? And all kidding aside, we went back into the future, and back in time, I should say, and decided, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be an SDR, and you know all the things you know now. What would you be telling, you know, the SDRs out there who are starting their career, and what would you wish you knew that you didn't know when you first started off your career?
Yeah. So I'm gonna give a couple of tips, but I'm also going to share what I do, because the reason why I do what I do is because of not necessarily what I didn't have when I was coming up, but what I didn't know I needed. So the first things, and we kind of just covered it, but seek productive and relevant content. Like, that's huge, because it's just gonna help you. Now, you obviously search with discretion, because take things with a grain of salt. You have to actually try them to see if they work. Don't just listen to people to listen to them. But certain phrases like, hey, that's exactly why I'm calling, that can be used on every single cold call. There's little things that are like that, where it's like, make sure that you teach or you learn them, because they're pivotal parts of how you actually call people on the phone. other things as far as like culture and relativity, helping everybody be better. I mean, I started a book club with our leaders to help them actually be able to grow and then take that into, you know, how they go day to day, how they deal with people, how they deal with them on the phones. Like, what are we doing? And it makes people think about what they're doing, why they're doing it, and take a step back, right? And then also meeting with people. So like being able to not only share your why, maybe as an SDR, or be able to discuss that, what motivates you, and then have actually somebody who cares about that. But then also from the other end, you know, asking that question and then help them evolve it. Some people don't know what it is. And you'll notice that when that's the case, maybe those are the people that are struggling, right? You don't really know. But as leaders, that's our job to help them find that, right? And then the last thing is, from my perspective right now, is to be there for them. So like, I know from an SDR perspective is to have somebody there for you. I can't tell you what that feeling of comfortability and relief is when you go and you tell your manager, if you have a good manager, hey, these are all the problems that I'm facing right now, and I really just don't know how to deal with them. When you come out of that meeting, you could still be a week or two out from your solution, but you feel much better, right? So like all of those things are just so important to how we're actually able to not only communicate, but live our lives happily in what we do every single day. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, the theme here is do hard things. So walk me through something that was challenging. Maybe it was a challenging project or a challenging client or a challenging, you know, person on the team that you were working with, or it could be in, you know, in just in life, you know, take me through an experience, if you will. You know, our listeners love to hear, you know, that over, you know, what you overcame and how you got through it and what, you know, what was the result of that in a positive light. So is there anything like that that you can think of?
Yeah. So I have a couple of examples. I'll use one from when I was an SDR, and then I can use another one from my current role as a campaign director. So for my one from being an SDR, I mean, it's hard, right? There's a lot of campaigns where sometimes it feels like things just aren't working. So a lot of times things need to be moved around. So my example from when I was an SDR is I was placed on a specific campaign that was actually not doing very well. And I was nervous. I was scared. We didn't really have a lot of process ironed out on that one because it was not in our systems, like as a company. So it was a harder one. And it's interesting because there was a lot to learn. There was a lot that I had to do on my own to like help build out some things that made sense. But at the end of the day, I ended up producing for this because I learned the ins and outs of what they did because I had to help create that. And this client ended up wanting to hire me directly. And I mean, I didn't take that obviously because I'm here and I love what I do and where I am. But like, don't be afraid to go into situations just because they seem like they're hard and maybe nobody else would want to do them. Like, that's all the more reason to take that, because I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing if I didn't take the chances like that.
Yeah. Got it. Influencers, obviously, you know, you mentioned a few books and, you know, you talked a little bit about what those are to you. You know, what else is out there? Like, what else has influenced you in a way in which got you to where you are today?
It's a really good question. So I mentioned two of the books earlier, but if I had to choose a couple, I would say, honestly, my favorite author, my favorite leader of leaders is John C. Maxwell. Okay. So there's a lot of books from him, like the 21 laws, the 21 irrefutable laws that helped me understand, like, how do you gauge yourself as a leader? How do you help other people become better leaders? And then just like understanding that in a very raw sense of like, it's okay if you're here, if you're at a 4 or 5, right? We can get you to an 8 or 9. That's okay. But it's all about helping people get to that point. Because I think the biggest thing that people miss is understanding where you're at on the current journey. Goal planning and goal setting is huge. That's how you achieve things, right? Without a direction, an arrow hits no target. That's just how things are. But it's, you know, understanding where you're at, enjoying the process, and then actually doing what it takes and then seeking the resources to get to that end result. Those are the types of books that John C. Maxwell writes. And like, that is what I've used to become the leader that I am today. So
love that. Okay. Now let's kind of talk tactically here. Okay. You know, you are obviously leading, you know, campaigns for massive enterprises, startup companies, all different types of businesses. That's what you do there, or here, mm-hmm. I should say. But more importantly, how do you track KPIs? How do you track metrics? How do you use technology into your campaigns to serve those clients?
That's a great question. So for the technology basis of how we're kind of making those data-driven decisions, I mean, that's a very, I guess, a multifaceted question, because technology, we're talking about specific technology, or you want to talk about process maybe with tracking those?
Yeah, I would say process. You know, like what KPIs would you say are important to you? And then, you know, why are you tracking those specific KPIs?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So the KPIs that we're normally tracking on a daily basis and monthly basis goes dials, connections, conversations, and then the meetings that are being booked.
Okay.
Now, within our realm, we call them hot leads for our meetings, and then we do warm leads, which is us building pipeline. So all of these we track, because the daily dials, emails, conversations, and connections all feed into that production of that week. It's all real time, and that's how we produce based on a volume number, or statistically speaking. For our monthly quotas, I mean, that's goal. As a salesperson, you have a target that you're trying to hit each month, and each of these KPIs that are daily help feed into that goal at the end of the month. So the reasons why we're tracking these too is, as we're running campaigns for clients, they're paying attention to the activities, right? The end result is we want production, we want the meetings, we want ROI and business generated, right? But they're paying attention to the KPIs just like we are, because that's how we get to that point. These daily numbers, they matter, because the end of the month number matters. So
awesome. Okay. So you mentioned a lot about KPIs and tracking that. How much does, you know, data, how does that really create your decision-making process when it comes to the evolution of that campaign, and how do you leverage it effectively?
Yeah, so the data is pivotal, because without using those numbers properly, you can't strategize to actually make a campaign successful. So whether it's, I mean, in really digging into it, whether it's making sure that we do the training necessary to get them to the level they need to be at for that specific client, or whether it's figuring out if we need to run some testing between reps or whatever it may be, right? I mean, that's how we use and decide those things to create the successful campaigns. It's like, I can't just look at somebody and say, hey, I think you're going to be good for another campaign, I'm going to pull somebody over here. I'm looking at the numbers. If there's not a production, there has to actually be no production for me to do that. But then it's based on, okay, well, have I seen somebody else in this industry be successful? Have I seen somebody hit this volume within this vertical, right? So like, those things matter, because that's how we create the successful campaigns that we have.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So describe to me a time in which you had to pivot, right? And how do you know what that strategy looks like, and how do you pivot, and how do you communicate that to the client?
Yeah, see, sometimes that's the hardest part, is communicating what you're doing. And that's why, personally, I think being an SDR first is huge, because communication is what's taught there. But there's a good example. So, and it's industry specific. There's one that was not in our normal industry. And, you know, it's a little bit harder sometimes when you're doing the research. And yeah, we've touched it before, but like, we really want to make this successful. Maybe we're not at where we want to be right now. And this was a more recent one, but it really depends on what you're pouring into that. So like, what I did is I went and like, I had done my surface level research. I know what they do. I know what they provide. I know how to sell that and get a meeting with that, right? But I had to take it a step further. So I had to actually research their industry statistics for the last 4 years. I dove into what their specific ICP works during the day. So timing was on point. Like, there's a lot of little details, like people not answering the phone. That's a timing thing. Yeah, it's chance, but it's a timing thing. If you look at a heat chart and you're like, okay, well, in this industry, these people are going to answer at 8 a.m. because that's the only time that they have. You call them at 8 a.m. You switch your strategy. I don't care if you have time at 12 to call, you call at 8 a.m., right? So it's like, those little things, they all feed into that end result. But then also, we started to see the bell curve, because once you start hitting your trends specific to their industry, that is where you start to see the success. So
yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So, I mean, I know recruitment is a huge piece of this, right? You know, finding the right talent, and in your role, you're part of that too, making sure you know, the right people are joining your team to serve your clients in the right way. How do you, once you have that team, create like a positive culture? Like, you know, how do you ensure that that team is effectively communicating, right? So you have a team maybe of producers that are doing really well. You've been with them for a long time, and then you bring in new names and new faces. So how do you create that positive team culture and that effective communication in those teams that you're managing and running?
Yeah, so one thing I've actually learned from our executive team is, and it's the way that we approach what we do, is putting our people first. So this falls completely in line with that and how we, you know, preface how they're going on the campaigns, coming into the company, whatever it may be. But the first thing for me, honestly, is I have a why conversation with everybody who comes onto my team. And so it's a personal thing, but I have a conversation about their why, not just because I want to dig into who they are, but more of because I want to know why they're here. Right. Why are you here? Why do you get up in the morning and why do you actually go do anything, right? Because if you don't have that driving force or some type of motivation, yeah, I can coach certain things, but I can't give that to you, right? So yeah, like gauging that, but then adopting the care of their own why and then serving them as such is my biggest part of how I run my teams. And then, I mean, and this is what I've learned also from our executive team, not necessarily by word of mouth, but by example. Mm-hmm. But it's also the encouragement, the feedback, the communication, letting them actually speak their ideas, giving them the time to do that and present them to you, and then working with them on how to make them better.
Right.
People love that because they want to be better. They genuinely do. So figuring out what makes them tick and then helping them do that is what I do with my teams.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of new things happening. This market is always evolving. You know, people are talking AI and technology and all these amazing things. And, you know, I guess what are you seeing right now in the marketplace? What emerging trends and, you know, changes in the industry that one you're most excited about, and maybe things that you're just like, uh-oh, this is kind of concerning or weird, something that we have to figure out or learn?
Yeah, no, that's a great question because I'm seeing a lot of stuff on LinkedIn and social networks about cold calling. And it, one of the things for me is like, I used to cold call for over a year, and that's just recently, right? Within the last 3 years. We have people who cold call every day, and people are saying that cold calling's dead. But if I'm going to be honest, I see that as excitement, because if other people think that's dead, that means our team, who's good at it, is going to cold call more, and we're going to set more meetings because of that. That's right. Not because it's not going to die. People are not going to stop having or wanting human interaction just because people online are saying that picking up the phone is dead. But people being afraid to pick up the phone is an advantage for us. So I see that way, and I believe strongly about that just because, I mean, there's meetings that are set every day. If cold calling was dead, that wouldn't be happening, right? So
yeah,
there's that. And then I think one of the things that does scare me, honestly, is the way that emails are being run these days. Like, I understand technology and AI and all of that being used as a resource, not as a replacement, though. And so, yeah, like the examples of emails that are being automated and sent to everybody is honestly sad, because we look at it and it's like, okay, well, do I need to get rid of emails in my campaigns because of the damage that the market is doing to them? Because usually we're using those for engagement, right? And brand recognition, name recognition, but it's defeating the whole purpose of that. So that part is a little bit scary.
Yeah. Well, this has been an awesome chat, man. In closing, you know, what's that one thing, that X factor, if you will, that you would want to leave someone who, again, whether they just started off in sales or whether it's they're doing great, but maybe they're just not at their number. Maybe they just didn't hit quota last month and they're trying to regroup and replan and hit the number next quarter, next month, next year. What's that X factor that you want to leave people with?
Instead of being afraid to reach out to your leaders, ask them the questions that you need to, because they will give you the support that you need. Just do not hesitate in doing that. Asking for help is an underrated thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember a funny story when I was a kid. I was the one that always asked questions out of all my cousins. And, you know, I remember my grandmother, she was a badass, man. And she was hardcore, you know, she was like the oldest of seven, great to, you know, raised to the Great Depression and all that stuff. And my cousins were making fun of me because I was asking all these questions over and over and over. And she pulled me aside and she yelled at all of them and said, "Keep asking questions, Gabriel, because if you don't, you're never going to learn. And don't listen to your dummy cousins." And so, like, I thought that was really powerful. So, listen, man, I appreciate your time. I love, you know, this conversation. How do people get a hold of you, and how do people network with you?
Yeah, I mean, you guys can connect with me on LinkedIn. Reach out, Jose Ojeda, Ojeda. Happy to chat. I always respond to people, so feel free to message me if you need anything at all, especially
Awesome.
SDRs out there.
Awesome. Thanks, Jose. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, guys.